Hey friends, you're in for a treat today. Education advocate, speaker, author, and actress Sam Sorbo is back with us, coming up on Worldview Matters.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, thank you for watching and listening and sharing the podcast. God bless you. And let's bring in Sam Sorbo now. It's great to reconnect with you. Let's catch up, sister. How you doing?
Really good. I just had an op-ed come out in the Washington Times, so I'm very happy about that. Talking about school choice this week in particular, because this is school choice week, which is such an interesting thing that they've managed to make a week out of sort of celebrating this very, very vague idea.
Yeah.
I mean, choice is good, but should the government fund choice?
Then there are strings attached then, right? When the government is involved.
Oh, I don't know. Let's look at history.
No, so that's at the Washington Times, and that op-ed can be found there, guys, if you want to look that up. But I do want to point you to the website sorbostudios.com to catch up with what Sam and Kevin are up to, sorbostudios.com. And the book we're going to talk a little bit about today is over on Amazon, Parents' Guide to Homeschool: Making Education Easy and Fun. Sam, I just want to start off by saying what Tucker Carlson said about the book. In your heart, you probably suspect that homeschooling is better for your kids, but how do you do it? Sam Sorbo knows, and her family is a testament to the fact it works. Wow, Tucker Carlson, that's great. So the book came out the end of last year. Tell us a little bit about, you've written so much on the topic. You're kind of passionate about education and homeschooling. So remember the first time we talked, you shared the story about, I think you went to Duke and you were afraid to homeschool your kids. And so that's in a previous podcast. It's just I'll never forget that because it's astounding. But I think about a lot of parents maybe who don't have the education that you had and have concerns about homeschooling their kids. Can you speak to that first before we get rolling?
Absolutely, because it is one of the biggest ones, is we feel so incapable, don't we? And the reason that we feel incapable is because we are products of the nation's schools. So if you feel incapable, that is an impeachment of the school, and that should be the warning sign that you need not to send your child in there to develop the same sense of inability that you have. But then I can go to the statistics and I can say to you that home-educated children score roughly 15 to 25% better on the standardized testing that the schools give. So this is the same tests. Homeschooled children score better, and that is regardless of their parents' level of education. Regardless of it. So parents who have no education are educating their own children better than the schools are. And the problem that we face, the sort of the uphill climb, is that a lot of parents, a lot of people today will say, oh, but I'm the exception. Don't flatter yourself. You're not the exception. I'm just saying, like, Ben Carson's mother couldn't read. She made him write a book report every day, every week, on a book that he took out of the library. She couldn't read it, but he turned into Ben Carson.
Yeah.
And my point is that the one metric that is the best metric for predicting a child's academic success is not the academic level of his parents. It's not how good a school he goes to. His level of academic success is best predicted by parental involvement. It's not the smarts of the parent, it's the interest of the parent that gives the child the impetus to learn and to keep learning and to grow in wisdom. And so that's what we're about, and that's what Ben Carson achieved. He was number one neurosurgeon and premier in the world, ran for president of the United States, among many other things. And that's his story, is this idea that his mother just poured into him just the interest and the drive.
Parental involvement. I'm thinking about the hours of influence. Interesting concept. And then I think about technology. I think about Hollywood. I think about the woke corporations. And I think about the government-run K-12 school system, let alone the universities. And we won't go there. Marxism on steroids. But let's talk about K-12. The kids are there, and now they're trying to get in there for breakfast. Hey, we'll give you a free breakfast if you show up early. So less time at the family meal table at home. Yep. With the parents. So that is by design, to take kids away from the parents. This is an uphill battle, but it starts by getting children, Christian children, out of the public schools, or any kids, any parents that want to raise their kids and, you know, influence them, have them, you know, truly educated. But I go over to the website, which you're involved with here, Public School Exit. I want to talk briefly about that, because that's in part what we're talking about, Sam, to be able to homeschool and for parents to be involved. We've had many of these. Dran Reese, we've had her on the podcast. Alex Newman is one of our colleagues here at Freedom Project. Paul Blair, and Duke Pesta. He's right here. Duke's office is right down the hall. And you are also one of our advisors here at Public School Exit. Tell us about that.
So Public School Exit's just an initiative to encourage parents to take their children out of public school. My encouragement is that parents are more than capable of educating their own children. And in fact, I would say that education is less than 50% academic. And we send our children to school just for academics. You don't send your child to public school for moral teaching. You don't send them for religious teaching. You don't send them for spiritual teaching. You don't even send them, if you really think about it, for teaching on how to get by in life. You're hoping that they learn that sort of by osmosis, that they learn social skills or whatever. You might say, oh, I send my child to school for social training. I don't know what you're smoking, why you think that they get socially trained in school, because they don't. Nobody's actually doing that. So that's kind of absurd. So what Public School Exit does, and what I do, is take a step back and show you have so much ability. And in fact, most parents, if they think about it, they are more accomplished than the teachers in the public schools. And that's not to denigrate teachers in public schools. There are there are probably many teachers in the public schools who are great people. But I'm just saying, if you went to a four-year Marxist teaching college, your ideas might differ vastly from the parents' ideas of what constitutes not only a good education, but a moral upbringing. And parents, you know, if you think about it, I was at an event the other day, and a world-class, world-renowned recording artist was speaking, and he was so proud because his son was going to some big university to study sound engineering. And I'm like, but you're a world-class, like if you gave a class on sound engineering, you would steal all of their students. You could literally educate your child yourself for free. You know, and actually it might even work for you. Like you could intern your child but no, he's going to college for what you know better than anybody at that school. My daughter said to me years ago, maybe I'll go to college and study business. And I said, that's a great idea. Just understand that the professors likely will never have run a business themselves.
Exactly.
And she's like, they can do that? So they've run education off the rails, and we're left picking up the pieces. And we have a culture that has been absolutely decimated. The family has been destroyed by and large. This is why I believe this is why there's so much divorce, is parents don't come together to raise the kids. They go in separate directions to try to raise the kids. One of them's driving the kid here. The other one's driving the kid there. The one spends the time at the basketball game. The other one goes to ballet or whatever. But not only that, the kids never spend time with the parents. And so we are a largely unparented society. And so this is where I just have to plug my book. This is where my book comes in. So the reason I wrote this was to empower parents. This is the curricula you need for your homeschooling. People go, but that's not for my kids. No, you need to learn this. And then you'll be fully, fully prepared to home educate your children. The curricula for children, my gosh, there's so much of it now. You could literally spit at the internet and come up with five different curricula. But what's important is that you start to understand, what do we mean by education? Where do I want my child to be 10 years or 15 years from now? What is my ultimate goal for the education of my child? And okay, if it's the corner office in the sky rise in Chicago with the fabulous view, and you never see that child because they're so busy making a living and earning the, you know, almighty dollar, then maybe the system is right for you. But if you foresee a future where you are surrounded by your grandchildren, do not send your children away from you for their education.
Right. Thank you for the air quotes, the usage of air quotes there. How do you respond, Sam, to someone who might say, well, even a Christian or not, saying, well, my tax dollars are going to the school system, so I'm already paying for it. And so I'm going to keep my kids there because I'm paying for it. I mean, I'm thinking that's an awful justification to because of what they're actually learning and how they're being molded.
The last time I took my car to the garage, I paid him in advance, but he didn't fix the problem. So I'm taking it back because I've already paid for him to fix the problem. And he still hasn't fixed it. And for some reason, it's actually worse now. Like,
great analogy.
Do you hear yourself? I mean, this is the problem. Okay. There's a bigger problem that's hard to talk about. And that is that our level of education is so low already for us. And I graduated, you know, decades ago, right? We are not a discerning population. Mm-hmm. We are not a God-fearing population. You know, there are a lot of Christians out there who send their children to public school. That's not in the Bible. That's actually anti-biblical. If you read your Bible, God admonishes you with the care and upbringing of your child and in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Those words are clear. Oh, they don't apply because, you know, school. But understand that school's values are very different than the values of the Bible. The Bible says, don't fear. School says, fear. The Bible says, you know, raise your children yourself in the fear and admonition of the Lord. School says, make sure that you worship money. College prep and career readiness. It's all about college. The whole world in school is about college prep and career readiness, which means money, because let's face it, career readiness is just code for a better job, a better paying job, a longer term job. That's all it is. It is, it's probably the greatest piece of propaganda, at least before COVID, that we'd ever seen.
There's so much that I want to talk to you about, but you mentioned money, and we know what the Bible says about the love of money. Money in itself isn't evil, but in the government-run school system where our tax dollars are going to fund this indoctrination, and it's all left, it's ABC, anything but Christ and the biblical worldview, but they do teach religion, by the way, just not Christianity.
Yes.
The answer is always, we need more money. The teachers' unions... Oh. That they need more money. Only if they only had more money, the test scores wouldn't keep dropping and we wouldn't be like 26th in the world when we used to be in the top five.
Yeah, I mean, we're so low in the world. I think it's 27th in math and 23rd in reading, something like that. And we spend more per child than almost every other nation. I think the one exception is Switzerland spends a little bit more than we do. But we are not getting the job done. But look what's happening in our schools. We're trading restrooms. We are hiding gender transforming students from their parents.
Yep.
I mean, the schools have really, laid down the gauntlet against parents now, and it's a travesty that more parents aren't speaking up. That more parents aren't saying, "Wait a minute." But what happened was, for decades and through all of our schooling, we were convinced you can have a child and have everything else that you want. You can't. You must sacrifice for the child. You must. You are called to, because the sacrifice then gets recompensed on the back end. And so we think of sacrifice. This is another lie. And by the way, these are all the lies in my book. So I go through all the lies that the schools teach us. Teaching is hard. Learning is hard. Learning is not hard. Like, full stop. Learning is fun. Kids love to learn. That's why at two, they're already asking all these questions because they love to learn. Then they get to school and the school says, no, you're not allowed to learn that. You have to learn this. And they're like, oof, well, that doesn't sound interesting. And the die is cast. So, you know, we have to take a step back and reevaluate our priorities. And you're right. The schools have set themselves diametrically opposed to the teaching in the Bible because for them, money is the highest good. And that's why we see the degradation of our culture, I believe, more than anything, is people justify doing bad things because of money. And they're more easily, they justify it more easily now because even though morally it's compromising, not according to the moral system in the schools. This is a very dangerous thing.
Friends, we've got to take a brief pause with Sam Sorbo. When we come back, we're going to talk about school choice. We're going to talk about a few of President Trump's executive orders. And you can find more at samsorbo.com. She's on Twitter, X, Instagram, Rumble, Facebook, and samsorbo.locals.com. More on Worldview Matters in just a minute.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily. World news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
So I also want to mention we have a new YouTube channel, friends, Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo, no spaces, and follow us there. Thanks for sharing the podcast. So this is funny, Sam. I think it was just last week I knew I was going to have you on the podcast again. And I don't know what channel I was watching, but I caught the movie again, Let There Be Light. And I was, again, just amazed by the acting. Great job on that movie.
Thank you.
You know, I just really love what you guys do, what you've always been a part of. Where can people, other than going to sorbostudios.com and go to shop, is your stuff on Amazon or where else can people watch and get your books and films?
Well, the best place is always just go to the studio and do sign up for our newsletters because that's the way we stay in touch with people now. The Facebook took my husband down for saying truth. although it was controversial at the time, it has now been proven to be true. They really should just reinstate him. But we stay in touch with people via our newsletter, our email newsletter. And so we invite everybody to sign up for free. And all of our products are there on sorbostudios.com. We offer free shipping. So that's really the best place to go.
Yeah, I've been shadow banned on YouTube. They didn't take my account down, my profile, but on YouTube, no, I mean Facebook, I'm shadow banned. YouTube, they've deleted some of my videos. I still have my channel, though, but I had the audacity to talk about Charlie Vector David One-Niner. And anyway, so I got in trouble. So we try to be careful. Now we shouldn't. Maybe things will improve now with the Trump administration, but I'm glad they did an executive order on censorship. In fact, let's go there briefly. We're running out of time already. Your thoughts. I know I love Kevin's voice, and he's been so vocal and for years, thank God, outspoken as a Christian. Gasp. Talking about political issues, right, as a Christian. But what are your thoughts? And we'll talk in detail about one or two of Trump's executive orders and just what he's doing already weeks into the new administration.
Well, I think he's done a remarkable job of creating mourning in America again. And so these executive orders are certainly setting the tone, and I hope that they will be more active than just an executive order, because you can order people to do things. But for instance, in our schools, no more DEI, no more CRT. But when you've already baked it in and the educators, the teachers themselves believe in this ideology, they will be teaching the ideology. And I want to point out to people that, you know, we used to have something called honor and integrity. And so you wouldn't compromise your honor and integrity to toe the line just for a paycheck. But that's where we are today. So the number of people on movie sets or on at speaking engagements or whatever, the number of people who come up to Kevin and say, hey, thanks for your voice, man. I couldn't do it because I'd lose my job. And you go, maybe you should stand up for yourself and not be so cowed. How do you face yourself in the mirror when you know that you're basically a hypocrite, where you know that you believe something and fervently because they believe it, but they're not willing to defend it. I don't know.
I'm glad you made the point that an executive order does not change the teacher's worldviews. They didn't have a come to Jesus moment. You know, they're gonna double down. They're gonna do it in secret.
They've already started. It's no longer called DEI. It'll be called something like, you know, equitable reparations, or I don't know what. They'll figure out some weird term for it, and they will implement it anyway. And so some of the stuff that Trump is doing, I understand, is defunding something, just saying, okay, you know what, this has to go and that has to go. I love the fact that he's requiring federal employees to show up for work. Like it's just sort of cheating if you're not showing up for work. He's also going and doing research to see if you've collected a paycheck from another source, because you should not be earning. If you're working full time for the government, you should not have a second job. And here's the thing, like I think there might be some people maybe who like took a part time job on Friday nights because they like the karaoke bar. And so they work there. But you'll be able to see from the amount of money or from the number of hours or whatever, and they should get some discernment. But seriously, yeah. I mean, I know for years we've had teachers that have been accused of some kind of misdeed, and they get put in rubber rooms because they're not allowed to be fired. And then in the rubber room, there was one case I remember about a decade ago. This teacher was making six figures doing real estate transactions.
Wow.
Working full time as a realtor from his rubber room inside the school building.
And getting paid and full benefits.
And getting paid as a teacher.
It is just really astounding. So, Sam, before we run out of time, by the way, I want to direct people to Libs of TikTok. This is good information on if you have any concerns about your kids in the government-run schools, follow them. And, oh, my goodness, they
Seriously?
Just did this one here. Trump ends radical indoctrination in schools. Well, it's a start, and it's like he's trying to call attention to it. It's not going to end it, but I appreciate Libs of TikTok. You can just some of the radical transgender ideology that some of these teachers are pushing gets exposed. And anyway,
they're very good at that.
Let's talk about your op-ed at Washington Times on school choice. And I want to quote you, and you can continue, Sam. School choice is being sold as an opportunity for parents to reclaim control over their children's education, no questions asked. But we've already seen that as it's being implemented, these promises are rescinded. And then you say it's time to acknowledge that what's being promoted as choice is actually a gateway to single payer schooling where government funds things. And you can just share a little bit more about that as we're running out of time. Just what are some of the bullet points that we need to be aware of?
Well, let's just be aware that when the government sends you a check, there's strings attached. They want to know where that money's going. And in a lot of these cases, it goes into an account that is supervised by the government. And then you are permitted to withdraw as you go, but only for approved purchases. In the state of Florida, the first year, most everything was approved. So people were like, yeah, this works pretty well. The second year, they're cracking down on what's approved, and also they're requiring testing, which they didn't require the first year. And the problem is the addiction. And in fact, I have another article coming out on Friday talking about the addiction of government, that they, because they control the schools, they trained us to think government's good. And I'm not saying that it's like on, like there's some nefarious scheme in the background. I'm saying this is the natural order of things. But the moment the government starts to fund it, first of all, prices will skyrocket, which means the dollars are then inflated, which means you're not actually getting the money that you think you're getting because everything's going to cost you more. But also the moment that money enters, it perverts that space. So the lovely Christian schools that will be taking government dollars because of school choice, now when the government comes in and says, oh, but lovely Christian schools, you must teach the Quran also, they're out of luck. And what are they going to do? Lay off all their lovely young teachers that have just gotten jobs and everybody's working and they're so happy? Okay, government, we'll teach the Quran. All right, but then you can't teach the Bible. Mm-mm. I mean, it's a gateway to basically full government control of education.
Yep. And I want to go ahead.
No, that's just the how it works.
I want to emphasize that you're not exaggerating. You mentioned Christian schools, and people have this idea that, well, Christian schools are kind of, they're teaching the Bible, and all the curriculum is would be approved by Christian parents. I think we've got so much waking up to do, Sam, but that's why your book is so important. Jeff, bring up the book cover one more time so people can get a good look at that Parents
and
Guide.
And let me just say,
homeschool.
Yep, education should be about family. It should be, you will form the best relationships with the best people you will know if you help them become themselves through educating them yourself. This is what I discovered, and I'm so thrilled that I did, and that's what I want to share with parents. Do it for yourself, do it for your children, and understand that you are more than capable.
So I would guess that your kids probably didn't end up on one of the Ivy League school campuses protesting Israel and parading for Hamas or the Palestinians. Isn't that sad, though? We saw that after October 7th. That was eye-opening, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, kids have been stolen away from their parents and then told their parents were dumb because their parents sent them to school to learn. So clearly their parents have nothing to give them, nothing to offer. And it's ridiculous. And I challenge the entire paradigm. I challenge the teacher paradigm. I challenge it all. And that's what I've done in my book. So get my book, Parents Guide to Parents Guide to Homeschool, Making Education Easy and Fun.
Yes, and education in your book is not in air quotes. It's just amazing what we've seen with some of these kids. They can't explain why they're defending Hamas or the Palestinians or they're against Israel. They can't explain that. But sadly, Sam, I see a little bit of that in the church as well. There are Christians who don't know why they want to play both sides, but you can't from the biblical perspective. SorboStudios.com. I see that you've got something going. You're going to the UK
going to Greece. We are leading a tour in Greece, walking in the footsteps of Paul. It's called Biblical Greece. It's on that page that you just showed, the events page. In September, but the signups are closing soon. So if you want to go, please go over to the website and sign up.
Awesome. I just appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for your time and just the fighter, the fight that's in you, that you have not been silenced. Praise God. Give our best to Kevin, and hopefully we'll do this again in the near future. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks so much.
All right, guys. There's so much more. There's books, there's DVDs, there's other, there's devotionals that we were going to talk. They did a Christmas devotional. So go look up at SorboStudios.com. Thanks for watching, listening, sharing. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.